Who, in your opinion, would you say of the great philosophers in past history, inventors, artists, writers, scientists, would you say reach bliss consciousness or cosmic consciousness?
It is very difficult to say about anyone else, because consciousness is a thing which can't be evaluated by anything. It's very difficult to say about anyone else. One knows on the level of one's own experience. Level of consciousness can be guessed but can't be evaluated. You can guess, he seems to be a nice man. How much nice? Don't know. No speech or action could possibly be a correct criterion of any level of consciousness, because what has been in the past is, and even in the present, the speaker speaks from his level of consciousness, the listener listens from his level of consciousness, a child speaks from his level, the father listens from his level. He has a different meaning altogether. The father speaks from his level, child can only listen from his level. The meaning is completely different. And this has brought a gap between the wisdom and ignorance always. The speakers have spoken from their level of consciousness. The listeners have listened from their level of consciousness. And whatever was the gap between the consciousness, that gap was between the two meanings. Intended meaning was something and received meaning was something. And this I call the tragedy of knowledge. And this has persisted, and this will persist always. The teacher speaks from his level of consciousness. The student can only listen from his level of consciousness. The purpose of all this miserable the purpose of all this miserable the purpose of the purpose of this miserable, inadequate communication is to raise the level of the listener and raise the level of the listener and bring him on to this, and from here the communication will be sensible. As long as the consciousness has not come on to this level, the communication is very inadequate. But we have to start from this inadequacy in the hope of filling the gap someday. And if this gap is filled, then here is the master of this generation. Now, here is the present generation is being lifted up like that, and brought to this. The student comes to the level of the master. Maybe in some generation, by accident or by providence, the student is not brought up to this level, he may be 1-2 step below, then that becomes the level of the teacher, and then this much is the difference between the real reality and prevalent reality. Because now this teacher is the teacher of this generation. He can only raise the level of consciousness of his generation to this level, which falls short of the real reality. Now this is the teacher. Now he keeps on, this goes on for a few generations, that the generation, that the student are raised to this level. Maybe in some one generation, this student remains little behind and the teacher falls away. The gap has increased. The truth is lost more and more with this increase of gap. This is inevitable. And this is how the truth gets lost. There is no way to prevent it. It's nature. Just because the difference in the level of consciousness. The teacher and the student, the teacher and the student. And the student rises. If the efficiency of the teacher that he is able to raise the students, fine. But if in some generation it can't come up to that, maybe 1 step and the body of the teacher falls and something happens, then this much is the gap between the absolute truth and between the understood reality. And this is what the misery of wisdom, tragedy of knowledge. And this is something very, very inevitable. Now you see how the wisdom gets lost. Because of the gap between the teacher and the taught, teacher and the student. That is why, in order to raise the level of the student to the level of the teacher as soon as possible, the requirement is love and reverence. Love and reverence, accompanied with the sense of service. These are the three requirements for this student in order to get to the reality. Love for the teacher, reverence for the teacher, service to the teacher. These are the three things. This minimizes the resistance that might be to the flow of knowledge. The resistance. If the teacher says this, love and reverence. Now, the student has all right to question. Innumerable questions he can put. All doubts he could put. Putting the doubts to the teacher is no disrespect. If one doesn't understand, one asks. That is absolutely no disrespect to the teacher. So, in all reverence and love and sense of service, the channel of the heart and mind of the student starts flowing towards the teacher. And then action and reaction are equal. When the heart and mind of the teacher starts to flow for the student, and then both start to be more and more harmonious, the flow of wisdom is more complete every day, and more complete and more complete, and soon the students come to the level of the teacher. And when he has come to the level of the teacher, then he is a teacher, that's all. One doesn't have to remain a student all the time. Rises to the level of the teacher, and that's it. There is a proverb in India which says, the teacher is inert if he fails to bring enlightenment to his student. The fault is not in the student. The lack is on the part of the teacher. It's said that he is inert, he is no good, lifeless, if he has not been able to raise the student to his level. So this tragedy of knowledge is there. Wherever there is the imparting of knowledge, this difference in the level of consciousness is just there. And to minimize the gap, there are these three things: service to the teacher, reverence and love, and our transcendental meditation is such a beautiful system. Love naturally increases and reverence naturally increases when life becomes better. The whole thing becomes very natural. All the requirements for perfection in knowledge, they just grow as a part of life. We don't have to manipulate nothing. We just take it easy, and by nature we are more loving and more respectful and more serviceful. The whole thing, the whole life takes that form spontaneously and naturally because of the experience in life. Everything becomes spontaneous, so we don't have to bother about anything. We just meditate and take it easy, that's all. But the mechanics of the loss of truth, see, what can be a greater surprise that the absolute gets lost? Huh? Eternal imperishable gets lost. Gets lost means gets out of sight. That's just out of sight. It can't be lost, it can't go from here to there. Only it gets overshadowed to our vision. That's all.
In our teaching now, we have the possibility of all things that are open. Therefore, the teaching must be complete as given to us now. It must seem then that there was either no gap in past history between teacher and student, or that there was some revival by some other means of the whole complete knowledge, which it's our blessing to have now.
Oh, that is right. And the whole knowledge is given out and it's received. It's given out from this level, it's received from this. But the level is increasing. Because now with everyday's meditation, more and more of being is infused into the nature of the mind, and more expansion of the mind means the level is becoming less and less. And it will come to this level.
My question is, though, that over the past history, the way you described it, it seems like the teaching is bound to be lost because of the gap. There could easily be a gap between teacher and student. But it seems that although all the way through history this gap could have existed, somehow now we are getting the complete teaching.
Yeah.
So it means that somehow the teaching at one point was completely revived in its fullest. If this gap ever existed in history, that means at this point now
here is the chance of leveling it up.
How is it revived, though, if it wasn't through a teacher? If that gap existed once in history, how could it possibly be revived now without a teacher?
That is due to that invincible force of evolution. The desire of the Creator is that everything should evolve. And when this simple technique of how man should live on earth, it gets lost, then the man doesn't know how to live, and when he doesn't know how to live, then he starts living in a very loose manner, resulting in the creation of stress and strain. Quite a lot of stress and strain, and when the nature becomes full of stress and strain, then the process of evolution is obstructed very naturally. What happens is, the trees, the crop, the whole animal kingdom, they begin to be less effective in their nature. Their nature does not blossom completely because of the resistance in the air. Due to the man not knowing his how to live and living very loosely and creating an influence of disharmony and stress and strain and suffering. Suffering is opposed to evolution. Evolution means life should proceed towards greater happiness, greater intelligence. And when man produces influence of suffering and of dullness, then it is the invincible force of nature. There is some flexibility. So much of stress can be accepted in the atmosphere, and no more than that, the force of evolution. When the man by his behavior starts to provide very great resistance to this invincible process of evolution, then this must go out, because evolution can't be stopped. It can be stopped to some degree, and in stopping the evolution, the man who is responsible for creation of disharmony and bad influence, he is punished. He suffers. And if the suffering is not able to neutralize, and quite a lot of resistance has been gathered for this natural process, then the cause of all this gets revived. It's an automatic process in nature. And the cause of it is this revival of the wisdom. Someone comes and he says, live like that and live like that, and then people start living like that. It's the influence of nature. The revival is brought about by nature. The extinction also is brought about in a sort of natural way. So the whole process is just like that. Invincible force of evolution cannot, this is what we call Mother Nature, cannot bear man suffering for a very long time. The wisdom must be revived. It's not a matter of revising it, no? It's not a matter of revising it, it's a matter of reviving the whole thing. How to live completeness of life, inner and outer, and progress fast. This revival is also brought about in a natural way. Extinction also is brought about in a natural way. This is what I said. It's all the nature that brings out. Someone comes out to say, here you are, come on. That's all. Just like some disturbance is going on somewhere in some part, the government is there, even the government is there, but the disturbance is going on and going on. With the ordinary, regular machine of the government, the disturbance is not able to be handled. Fine, some commission is appointed by the government with special powers and he does the thing and go.
I think that the original question that Keith was asking was about the actual mechanics of the revival. In other words, if at different points in history we have a gap and then we have a revival, at some point the student was higher than the teacher. Now, does this come about through the teacher himself? Can he bring the student to a higher level? Or does this simply dawn on the student in the nature of revelation? And then he can give the word out at the level of reality.
It must dawn as a revelation through a teacher. Must have a teacher. Must have a teacher. What happened in the case of Buddha? Lord Buddha didn't have a teacher. What he did, like in today's world, in our present time, Krishnamurti talks about the reality, about the state of realization, very beautifully. All that he says is absolutely right. But because he didn't have a teacher, the whole teaching of his lacks ability of giving enlightenment to anyone. He talks from a level of enlightenment. He talks from the level of a realized man. And truly he says that the Absolute is your own being.